Hey everyone, this is Eric from Phase One Trading. Welcome to episode 9 of P1 Talks. With me today is my co-host Steven as well. Steven, he's a terrible snowboarder.
How's it going? Yep.
And he's here today as well.
Glad to be alive.
Yeah, really. So just a quick reminder, just some housekeeping items that we usually get through before we start our show. We just want to thank everyone who listens. As we recently passed our first 1,000 subscribers, which is a tremendous achievement for us. It takes a lot of work to put all this together. And, you know, we were pleasantly surprised to see ourselves past that 1,000 subscriber mark. And we feel like we're just growing exponentially from here. So it's a major milestone. We just want to thank everybody who tunes in live, supports us on social media, listens on the replay, you know, all that jazz. We appreciate you and thank you for your continued support. With that being said, if you're new to the channel, please go out and you know, check all the content that's on there, including some past interviews with some really great guests that we had. You know, there's Lizard King, OTC Balla, Laid Back, Miss Izzy, the whole TRT group, The Rock, Captain Solutions, Jason Spadafora, The Wolf of Weed Street, and actually most recently we had Radio Silent Play on there as well. So don't forget to check that out and, you know, subscribe to our channel. If you find everything helpful, we would really appreciate that as we grow. You can also follow us on Twitter at Phase One Trading or search for our show using the hashtag P1 Talks, where you can get additional content from our trading community. You can also visit phaseonetrading.com for more information about our group. So that's my little spiel. Get that out of the way. And, you know, Steven, tonight he's with me on the controls in the background. So we have some kind of graphics that we've been experimenting with. We'll put those up along the way. And with that, well, that being said, you know, we're very excited to have a great guest on tonight, a female trader. Yeah, they do exist, guys. Is she the next Kathy Wood? I don't know. No one can really say for certain. But, you know, we're happy to have her and welcome to Swing Pony on the show. Hey.
Hi, wow, the next Kathy Wood, no pressure.
Yeah, no pressure. Maybe you'll start an
no
ETF eventually.
No pressure at all. Maybe one day.
Are you planning on starting an ETF anytime soon, or?
I'm going to give it a couple more months. I'm pretty new to this. I think it was not too long ago that I was buying high and selling low. So yeah. We still have some learning to do, but we'll get there.
Cool. So, So yeah, you came very highly recommended from the Tradingverse, the Radio Silent Play group. So you know, they said things like you were humble, and you were very helpful and such a nice person. I mean, is that all true, or are you just a terrible person?
We'll find out. We'll find out. No, honestly though, I'm very, very humbled by all the love and support that I've gotten from my RFP fam and just everyone else that's on Twitter in general. I do appreciate you guys for bringing me on as well. It is kind of funny because it's like, who am I? Like, you've had all these amazing, incredible guests. You know, I love radio, and to go on after the guy who taught me pretty much everything I know is like a very, very humbling experience. So I do appreciate it, and I hope I can, you know, provide some of the insights that do come with being a newer trader and some of the things that I've learned along the way.
Yeah,
I think you screw up and that's how you learn.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I was excited to have you on the show, you know, because you're somewhat of a newer trader who has recently, you know, learned the lessons that new traders learn. And, you know, it's awesome because I feel a lot of people can relate to that right now. And, you know, especially new participants in the market who may be listening to this right now, I think kind of like where you're coming from is a very relatable story. So we were very interested in having you on and kind of, you know, having a person of that nature kind of on our show and not just people with, you know, 100,000 followers. You know what I mean? Like, we want to kind of diversify the show and bring people on of all different types of backgrounds and trading experience, which is, you know, exciting to have you on tonight. You know, and that it's like, you know, sharing these kinds of stories is important for the growth of the community. You know, not everybody's like trading for 35 years, you know, so it was excited to have you on. But let's kind of get right into it. So Last week was pretty crazy, right? Pretty red market. How did you
Are you bleeding anywhere? You know, let me put it this way. So the week of February 8th, I was just beside myself. That was the greenest week that I had ever had, ever. Like Monday, I hit a new goal. Tuesday, I doubled it. Wednesday, I tripled it. Like I was just in green heaven from it. And what we've seen in the last week and this week as well, was a very big shift in contrast to that in terms of how much red was in the market. I will say this, I think I had recently cut out a ton of positions because before this past week, I hate to admit it, but again, you learn as you go, I was like all in. I did not have a lot of cash on hand and I just happened to cut a ton of positions right before this past week. And it helped me tremendously. If I hadn't done that, it would have been, I would have given all my gains back, I'll be honest. And wow. So having taken care of a lot of positions, and there were a lot that I was already up on, just kind of writing free shares. But if you have that across a lot of positions, you know, you're going to take some hits still. So for me, it was sort of lucky timing in a way. So there were some setbacks, but it wasn't anything near what it could have been.
Pony, can I ask you a question about your when you're talking about clearing out like a lot of positions? What do you have kind of like a maximum allowance of how many positions you will let yourself hold, or you know, how do you manage your account in that way?
No, but that's something that was my goal to work on this year, because one thing that I've noticed, one of my personal, I don't know if flaw is the right word, but I would tend to spread myself kind of thin and be in a lot of plays. And I didn't really have any issues managing it, but it got to the point sometimes where like my account would be up a lot and it wasn't obvious what was running. Like if I have to scroll through a bunch of tickers to figure out why I'm up or what's going on, you just kind of, it just shouldn't be more than you can manage. And I could sense that I was in a little bit too much. So after that big green week I had, I decided, you know, this was a great one. I'm going to start cutting down a little bit and just clean up my plate. And I don't have like an exact number, but I think it's something that you can sense and feel like, ah, okay, this feels right. I'm not overwhelmed by it. And I think that number changes. I mean, maybe you start with a certain amount and as you get more comfortable, you can add more, or maybe your sweet spot's always 5 plays or 10 plays or whatever it is. For me, I don't have a specific number. It's more just what feels right and what feels manageable.
Yeah, that's kind of your own trading strategy. I wanted to kind of ask a question regarding your involvement with Radio Silent Play and his group. You know, so he was on the last show. And, you know, I could tell that you're kind of a personality within that group. And I wanted to, you know, kind of ask how that group has influenced and improved your trading. Did it put you in a better mind state, like coming into a week, let's say like last week?
Oh, 100%. Because I think, so they say, you know, there's the quote, like your vibe attracts your tribe. But I think the opposite is also true. Like your tribe can help shift your vibe. And I think language really matters. And before, you know, joining the RSP group, like if I had a bad day, I'd be like, man, that week fucking sucked. Like that wrecked me. Like I'd get emotional about it. I'd use like negative language. And, you know, I think the more you allow yourself to kind of wallow in those words and in that environment, it shifts your mindset. And the radio always says something. He says, I either win or I learn. And that anytime, like I, you know, have a slip up or I lose out on a trade or I maybe don't perform my best or break a rule, it's not, I don't like let myself wallow or feel pitiful or anything like that. It's more like, okay, what could I have learned from that? And that just keeps you improving instead of kind of getting lost in an emotional state, which I think will wreck any trader if you get too caught up in all that.
I agree. I mean, obviously, I mean, I'm not in the group, but tuning into the show last week, you know, one of our hosts, we have about three or four hosts here that we kind of, you know, cycle shows and who could take each show, you know. But I was listening to that show with Radio last week, and I'll tell you, like, everything that he was coming from was just such a positive vibe and like a no panic kind of mindset and just a, mm-hmm. such an experienced psychological platform that he's coming from. I'll be honest, like, I approached the very next day completely different. Not even just in the yeah. market. Like, I felt so inspired the next day, and I was like, you know, I had a different respect for him. And I was saying to myself, I'm like, man, everybody in that group is probably on such a good footing, because, you know, if I feel so inspired the next day, it's like, you know, imagine engaging every day in that group. So I thought that was pretty cool. You know, like, even just in my, you know, aside from just my day itself, I was calmer. But, you know, in regards to just trading, I was so patient with my entries and like everything I was doing. I had this different sense of calm. And I was saying to myself in the morning, I said, I hope this lasts. I hope this doesn't wear off. I gotta remember to keep doing this. But it felt good that day.
Well, and that's, you know, what you're saying right there is you want to be a part of the group that reinforces your best habits, right? And, yeah. you know, if you hang out with somebody who's, you know, whatever the vice may be, whatever the negative is, you end up getting drawn towards it a little bit. And if you have a group that constantly like reinforces, you know, the best mindset, the best trader you want to be, always learning, never wallowing in the negativity, it makes a difference. And I will tell you, that is the one thing that really, really made me gravitate towards Radio, is when I had my first 30-minute call with him, which is totally free. And I remember thinking, like, what is this? What is he here to sell me? You know, yeah. we're all so jaded from someone yeah, yeah. always trying to sell us something. And I ended that conversation and I was just beside myself, because he didn't make it this massive technical trading thing that was like overwhelming. Every story and every principle he taught was through some form of like wisdom that could easily be applied to regular life. Yeah. And I'm a sucker for that stuff, like emotional intelligence and psychology and all of that. So the way that I became more passionate about trading was through that initial conversation, because it just completely changed the way I see this whole landscape.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, that's a perfect segue into just trading psychology in general. You know, we were DMing a little bit before this conversation, and, you know, we kind of exchanged some ideas of kind of, you know, what to discuss during this show. And something that you sent over to me was, you know, trading psychology, greed, fear, and emotion. So, I mean, can you share your take on that? I mean, how does your trading management style kind of fit into those aspects?
Yeah, I think most of us know that when we're emotional, we don't always make our best decisions. And if to anybody who's having trouble with that while trading, I mean, it's hard to change it overnight. You know, you can't just tell yourself, don't be upset about that and like make it go away. But again, that's where you try to reinforce good habits and surround yourself with other people with like a similar mindset. And it's a practice. But I think one of the biggest things is just keeping in mind that, you know, there are a couple big driving factors in the market, and that's fear of loss and it's fear of missing out, which is essentially greed. And I think that if you can, I tweeted this the other day, if you can manage to stay grounded between euphoria green and bloodshed red, then you'll do fine. Because I think sometimes when things are going really, really well, that's where you can slip up and kind of break your own rules and get a little bit reckless. And then on the other hand, when things are going really poorly, you may try to double down and break even and make bad choices and try to get caught up. And you just have to keep in mind, I think, when you're getting overly emotional, you may need to take a step back for the day. You may not want to trade too much. You might not be making the best choices. I think another thing is, I see a lot of people getting attached to their stocks on an emotional level. And when they don't react the way they want them to, it's this big, it's very big in the EV world, I'm seeing. Everybody's very loyal to
a different
electric vehicle. I think, again, that's another thing. I try to keep it to where, I like this stock, but if it breaks my floor 2 days in a row, like, unless it's a long-term trade, which you see it differently, it's time to get out. It is what it is. I'm gonna cut the stock and it's going to be fine.
That's the thing, too. As you hold a stock longer, you feel like the company cares about you. And I think that's a big misconception that a lot of new traders have, and it's a big hurdle to get past psychologically. I think the longer you hold something, the more attached you get to it. And the sooner that you start trading like a robot, because that's essentially what you're trading against anyway, the sooner you're going to start profiting on a consistent basis, you know. But that greed of holding on, I mean, especially even going into like, what was it, last week was pretty red, right? I got to look at a calendar already, but
It was like the Friday before
that big red week. I put a note in our trading chat, the phase one trading chat room. I said, I just put I have like two IRAs. I put one of my IRAs, the one that I manage, completely to cash. And I put the note in the chat room. I was like, I just put my entire IRA to cash, because when everybody is winning around you, like everyone, and everyone is just like pounding the table, it's time to de-risk. It's time to take some exposure off the table. And I'm at a point with my trading ability where I don't get too attached to anything anymore. I've seen that movie before. I don't like the ending. And I avoid getting too attached to anything. If I'm holding something more than like 2-3 days, I'm getting itchy. Like the second I buy something, I want to sell it.
And here's the thing. I think a lot of times, just like anything, so action beats anxiety. But that always sticks with me. Like if there's a trade that you're quote unquote bleeding out on, and you just know it's going lower and lower, and you have no rules on when to cut it, you're just emotional about it. The thought of cutting the trade is probably weighing on you way more heavily than just cutting the trade. When I made all those cuts in my portfolio, I mean, I was in a ton of small cap plays and they rallied hard. I had already locked profits on a lot of them, but I was writing free shares and I had re-entered some of them. And, you get a little bit of a sense of like, oh, but what if it goes higher? What if?
When people say like, I'm pretty plugged into social media during the day, but I use it, as a tool and not a guide. Mm-hmm. I think that's a big thing too. But, you see a lot of people, even people that comment on my tweets and stuff, they say, I hope it does this, or, I bought it and let's see what happens. It's like, if you're going into a trade, like with that kind of mentality, it's time to start paper trading. It's time to just go back to paper trading and working out the kinks. But, I just want to touch on one more kind of aspect of that, cutting losses and things like that before we're getting into your Mara story. I want you to take us through that a little bit. I think that's a very inspirational start to finish. But going back to kind of what we were saying of the thought of cutting the loss is almost like worse than just cutting the loss. So, have you kind of heard this concept of good and bad losses and good and bad wins?
So,
a good loss would be one that you take at the right time because the trade broke down. Let's say, it broke down on the 200 moving average and you got out instantly. You didn't average down, nothing. It was just the right time to get out. So that's essentially like a good loss. Like people associate losses with in a negative way. When losses are not always negative. It could be a good loss. And it goes the same with wins. So if you take a gain, and you stuck to your plan, that's a good gain. That's a good win, right? But if you took a gain on like a pure gamble and you overexposed yourself and you leveraged way more percentage into that trade of your account than you normally do, and you totally pretty much just got lucky and you took a win, that's essentially like a bad win. So this is something I kind of wanted to just put in the tape of this show, that people should recognize that there's good and bad wins and there's good and bad losses as well. And the sooner you start taking good losses, that's going to help you become more consistent as well. Cutting those losses quick.
For sure. Well, I mean, I think the one thing last week taught me more than anything, and this week is, and radio has been saying this a lot, because he'll give us these amazing barometers for how the market's doing, and he always says, it is what it is until it isn't. So just in terms of managing your portfolio and stuff, like if you're overexposed, you're, you know, when we see a big pullback, if you're all in your portfolio, like that's going to hurt. Yeah. So in terms of like taking a good loss, maybe sometimes you are taking what you perceive as like a loss, but it's preventing you from a bigger one.
Yeah. And the bigger loss is your time. You know, I value my time more than my money in my trades. So, you know, for me, yeah. You know, if I take like a managed loss, let's say like a $200 loss, you know, I try to keep like any losses I take within a certain kind of like window, like, you know, percentage wise, sure. Like they're not very variable. Like my losses aren't like 100 or 1500 or 700. Like they're all within a channel of an average loss, you know, because losing is part of the game. Like anybody tells you that they don't lose is flat out lying. Totally. You should unsubscribe from them. Totally. But,
yeah,
you know, so that's something that I try to, you know, be aware of when I'm trading. But, you know, your time is valuable. That's the end of the day. Like what's more important to me than any amount of money, because you just get back in another vehicle that you're not emotionally attached to, and you ride something else that has a better risk reward and a better opportunity. I did that plenty over the last couple of weeks, because one of my accounts, like a week or not the IRA, a different trading account, I was holding a little bit more than I would have liked to, and I got kind of caught a little more exposed than I wanted to that red week, and I kind of had to day trade my way out of it and get myself back in cash. But that's a whole nother story.
Sure. Yeah. I think a lot of us learned some things last week and this week, just because when the market's being so good, that's the other thing, is you get a little bit comfortable in your strategy and your plan. And I think, you know, shifting to the red, I mean, listen, I would love to be green all day, every day, rolling the dough. I mean, who wouldn't? But yeah. You can't really have one without the other. And the red is where you learn. I mean, I'm sure the majority of people gave back some gains last week, maybe even this week. But I mean, if you're using that as an opportunity to like sharpen your skills and kind of realize where your blind spots are, where you got too comfortable, I think it's valuable. I think it keeps us grounded. It keeps us on our toes and just makes us strengthen our plan.
Yeah. Somebody else that I listened to on social media, who is it? Like Ramp Capital. That account makes me laugh so much. Him and like
Stock
Cats.
Oh my gosh.
Him, Ramp Capital and Stock Cats. You know Stock Cats?
I don't. I just started following Ramp though, because I needed some comedic relief. They provided it.
If you like Ramp Capital, subscribe to a guy called Stock Cats. I think it's like at Stock Cats or something like that. But, they're very funny. And Ramp Capital put out something this past week. It was like, this just in, investors learn that investing is not easy when stocks go down.
Yes.
It's like, yes, that is totally the moral of the week.
And everybody likes to like shit on the new traders. They're like, ooh, the Robin Hooders, they're realizing, or this or that. And I'm like, take it easy, guys. But that said, I think it's weeks like this that kind of weed out who wants to, because I'm new to trading. If I hadn't developed strategy and a team and a plan, I would maybe be deterred by something like last week.
Yeah.
But I think it gives you an opportunity to decide, is this something I want to take seriously and learn to like adapt with the market and strategize and take whatever it gives me and see how I can make it work on my end? Then cool, you know, you'll probably thrive.
Yeah. I think, you know, the whole thing with like the Robin Hood, I don't want to get off on too much of a tangent, but like a lot of Robin Hood traders like take a lot of heat, right? Because they're like total like noobs, right? Like if you're playing video games, it's like, oh, noob, you know. But I think prior to that, they kind of didn't deserve it because they were just coming into the market and, you know, a lot of people don't know any better. They're looking for a platform. And, you know, Robin Hood does a good job of advertising and marketing to get people onto it. But I think ever since what went down now with Robin Hood, I think, in my opinion, to stay on that platform now, you're crazy. I think everybody's got to leave Robinhood. That's my opinion. That's not a reflection of phase one trading or anything. It's solely my opinion. But I'm like, to be on Robinhood now, there's so many better options. Why would you want to be involved with a company that, that doesn't have your back like that? I don't get it. You know, even if you're new.
For sure. I think the one thing I would say there, I saw a lot of people posting as soon as GameStop happened, like, move your account over immediately, like close things out or do a transfer. And I think the best way to approach that for anyone who's kind of stuck in the pickle is if you're in a ton of trades, it's not really feasible to be on a holding pattern for like 5 days, you know? The other side of that is it's maybe not feasible for you to just close out of all your positions so you can move your cash over. The one thing I would suggest there is to start, you know, kind of, if you are in a lot of positions, start being maybe a little more aggressive about locking profits, closing them out, and doing a subtle shift to something like Webull or TD Ameritrade or, you know, whatever the preferred platform is.
I use TD. I like TD, you know, and, you know, at the end of the day, when all the platforms go down, they all kind of go down. It's no coincidence, and it kind of doesn't matter what you're on, but, you know, I would rather be on something that I could trade OTC. I could start trading at 7 a.m. I could trade until 8 o'clock at night. You know, like, I like the flexibility of TD. They're pretty good. You know, I'm not a total salesman for them. There's, I'm not, you know, getting paid to say that. But
yeah, who do you work good. For? I've you getting commission? Are my OTC fees going in your pocket?
No. Full disclosure. We use Trade Ideas. Our group, you know, Trade Ideas is awesome. Shameless plug. There's a link in our description of the YouTube video right now. If you use it, we get a commission. But you know what? We wouldn't have it in there if it wasn't freaking awesome. So, you know, if anybody's interested in signing up for Trade Ideas, we have a link in our description right now. Trade Ideas is absolutely awesome. You can run so many different scans, so many different ways. It's such an amazing piece of AI, but whatever. All right, so I want to move on a little bit. So you have this Mara story that you sent me the thread to, and you did a really good job of kind of, you know, walking your followers through kind of the story of that. For somebody who doesn't know too much of that story, do you have kind of like a version of that story you could tell right now? Because I think from start to finish, it's pretty cool.
Yeah. So just a little backstory. I really had no intention of getting into trading. My friend Chris, don't hate me, sent me a Robinhood link a while back.
Is he listening?
And he actually is listening, yeah. We forgive him, though, because okay. I've made money since then, so
no
we
problem.
Forgive him. You know, I just signed up because, of course, everything gets gamified. It's like one free stock, and I'm like, oh, that'd be fun. Let's just see what happens. So I threw $100 into Robinhood, and the story gets even more interesting here because I didn't even touch it for a while because I didn't know what I want to invest in. I just did it and I left it there. And I was following Chris Randone because I was watching The Bachelor at the time. And he posted something about Mara. And I think he said he's like throwing $20,000 in it. And I'm like, oh shit. Like, okay, maybe this is going to be the first stock that I invest in. And so I think it was like $3.10 at the time. And I decided to put my $100 towards that. And the next day it went up. I don't remember exactly how much, but it went up. And I had that feeling, sort of that beginner's luck of like, oh, is this how easy it is? Like you just put some money in and it goes up. So I, from there, pretty much committed every beginner's trading error that's like possible in the book. It went up, I think, to like 476, and that's when I decided to throw a nice chunk of money into it, like significantly more than what I started out of. Like
took some money
from my savings, more than triple. I was reckless. I put a nice chunk of money in it, pretty much near its peak.
What was the price at the time? I have to ask. I have to interrupt and ask. What was the price at the time?
I think when I put my first big chunk in, it was at 476. And okay. I think it peaked around like 5 at the time.
Okay.
So I pretty much threw a big chunk of money in right near the peak. And at this time, everybody on Twitter, I started following some of the bigger trading accounts and they were all tweeting about Mara and like price target, $8, $10, $15. And I'm like, hell yeah, like stocks only go up, right? Yeah. Like I did the right thing. So they don't only go up. It started going down and it was going down kind of fast. And it around 350, my instinct was to double down on the way down. Mm-hmm. So I pretty much put in exactly the same amount of money I put in at the peak.
Oh, no.
On the way down before it had even found a floor. Yes. Oh, no. So not only did I just buy a ticker blindly off of Twitter without doing any research on it and no knowledge of buying low and selling high,
mm-hmm.
But I also doubled down on a losing trade.
Mm-hmm.
And so from there, I mean, it just kept going down lower and lower and lower every day. And I remember I was carrying like a big sense of like dread and anxiety throughout this whole process, just watching my money go down. And I think it was a weird feeling too, because, you know, when you're new, you don't know any better, you do look for validation on Twitter. And all of these people, and nothing against Chris. I mean, this is a great trade. If I had played it right, it mm-hmm. would have been a great trade. I just did the whole thing wrong. But a lot of other people who were tweeting about it, hitting these ridiculous price targets right off the bat, suddenly weren't tweeting about it like at all.
Yeah, that usually happens.
That does happen. And when you're new, it's not a good feeling. It teaches you, but it's not a good feeling because you mm-hmm. are seeking that validation. And I remember I'd even like messaged a couple people in like threads. I DM'd a couple people. And it's funny because it's the stuff you see now with more experience and you're like, don't ask me for a PT, or you should know, like you should have a plan, but we all start somewhere. Right. And so I have a lot more empathy with that kind of thing now.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, a couple of people were actually like rude in their response and like made me feel really stupid. You know, what I did was stupid, but I didn't know.
Yeah.
So eventually I ended up messaging my friend Sean, who I know used to trade full time a while back. I hadn't talked to him in a while, but I was like, hey, you know, this is the situation I'm in. I kind of threw a lot of money at this trade at its highs, and I'm seeing my money go down every day. I was like, I'm down about $3,500, or maybe it was $2,500 at the time. And I was like, there's a lot more room to go down. I just kind of want your advice. And he was like, look, I typically, you know, like to lead people to make their own decisions, but with you being a new trader, I'm just going to give you my advice and say, cut your losses and move forward. Because his feedback, which I loved, was that basically a trade is a trade. And the more you become attached to a trade, the more you lose out on the other opportunities that are in front of you.
Yeah.
And, you know, getting emotional about a trade, like that's the pitfall of a beginner. And so from there, I waited until I lost a little bit more. And then I took his advice and I cut my losses. And again, this goes back to the whole, the more you think about it and the more mental real estate it takes up in your head, like that's the hard part. When you finally cut the loss, it's like, oh, I should have done that forever ago.
You probably felt so free after that.
So free. And, I'm really glad that I reached out and I got that advice from him, because then it wasn't long after that that I stumbled upon Radio. He's done a little mentorship tweet, and I always loved how concise his posts were. And I reached out and, you know, learned everything about low risk, high reward trades and, you know, finding support levels and buying near the floor, and kind of the comeback story to Mara, which I know is a favorite trade for a lot of people. I mean, it's an ATM machine if you use it right. Is that I ended up buying back in Samara around 2, and I played it all the way up to 16. Like I kind of rode the waves. I bought back in at support levels. I sold as it went higher. And it was such a great experience, because it ended up being my best trade and my worst trade. Like I learned a lot from it. And I think a lot of people could say, oh, but when you bought it $4, $4.76 or whatever, like if you had just held out, you would have been fine. But the important part for me is that like that would have consumed like all of my mental real estate. Mm-hmm. So even though it would have ultimately been fine, it would not have been the right move for me. Like I prefer taking the loss, learning from it, and just being open to new opportunities.
I feel like a lot of new traders, you know, eventually go through a story like that with a stock that's special to them. I know I have. I went through a story like that probably twice in my trading career before I wised
up. What was your stock? I'm curious.
XBIO. Yeah, I hate that stock. I will never people talk about it. I just turned the page. But yeah, you know, I get kinked up here and there. We all do. But I think a lot of new traders, I think, have to get to the point where they unfortunately have to go through an experience like that. I mean, I'm sure a portion of people wise up before they have to, but the majority of people do. Mm-hmm. But the question is, I mean, do you come out of it with the, you know, the mental confidence to keep fighting and to keep trading another day and to, you know, protect your make wise enough decisions to protect your capital to trade another day, you know? Because a lot of people, they get so broken down when they do take up that emotional real estate like you were describing, and it breaks them down to the point where they want to quit. And, you know, most people do. And, you know, the hardest point is kind of pushing past that moment where, you know, it's like anything in life, it's not even just trading, you know, it's like if you could push past that moment of quitting, it's like that's usually your turning point. And that's usually when you'll find yourself actually making consistent moves to the upside. So, you know, it was... I'm glad that you shared that story because, like I said in the beginning of this show, like a lot of people can relate to stuff like that, and you know, and then learn from it. And look, kind of like how it molded you into a better trader. You're never going to forget that lesson you learned. And at the end of the day, it, you know, from what you just described, when you cut the loss, you made up for it just trading the right way after the fact, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, and it's awesome. It's such a cool story. And the fact that it's on a stock like Mara is kind of funny. I mean,
yeah,
now that it's at like...
it's an iconic one.
I mean, I started trading... I'm sorry?
It's in the 30s right now, I think, right?
Yeah, I mean, but when it went as high as like, what, 60-something, right? You were probably like laughing when you saw it that high.
Yeah, no, totally. I'm like, is this little baby Mara all grown up?
Man, it's crazy. I mean, myself and a lot of members of Phase One, we started trading Mara when it was like 91 cents a share, you know, and we used to trade it from like 90 cents to like 110, like 90 to 120. Like if you were buying it over 110, wait for it to retrace. It's like nuts to even think back and say that, like, you know, we were waiting for it to come below $1.20 to pick it up, you know, and like look where it's at.
It's insane.
But we traded it all the way up.
I mean,
you know,
a lot of these small cap plays have like rallied so hard that it's funny to think back, like even like FRSX, like where that was when I first took the trade, which I don't even remember, but it was like an eighth of what it is now. And
yeah,
to look
like
at old tweets and things like that. Yeah.
It's like any stock now. I mean, that's why these pullbacks lately, like, you know, I feel sorry for the people who are overexposed at the end of the day, but the market doesn't care about you at the end of the day. And for me and in my account, like, I like these pullbacks. It brings everything back to reality a little bit, and it provides a tradable range. You know, these big up and down days, it's a day trader's dream right now. It's just these big up days, these big down days. I mean, you know, right now, all it is, this market right now is it's you know, buy the dip, sell the rips, and don't get exposed, and just stay liquid and just buy these big red days and sell on these big green days. And, you know, just try to stay out of the market as much as possible, but to take advantage of some of these moves, that's kind of what I've been doing. It's what a lot of my buddies are doing right now as well. And it's been okay. It's been pretty good, you know, but today was kind of a weird day. Now I think the market's kind of figuring out where it's going to go. I know that the 10-year note came back to like 1.4 or something today. So it seems like the whole market is trading the 10-year note right now, which is kind of crazy and, you know, stimulus if that even happened.
The market's definitely been a little bit wonky. I know, like for me, I'm a swing trader, you know, whether it's like 2 days, 2 weeks, 2 months. I wouldn't say I'm a scalper or day trader. So in terms of like profiting off of these types of dips, would I be happy to acclimate and learn if this is like our long-term scenario? Absolutely. But since that's not really my usual strategy, I've kind of been on the sidelines a little bit more right now, cash heavy, just kind of keeping an eye on how everything's going. Yeah.
Good. I mean, you have the experience to know that now. You're not over trading. It's great.
For sure. For sure. I did notice something very big last week, which was of concern to me. And I don't know if anyone's used this term before, but I would call it a big dip energy. I remember we had like our first big red day and everyone's like, buy the dip, know what you own. Yeah, like I'm doubling down. And then we'd have a little recovery and then we'd have another dip. And then a little recovery and another dip. And by like the third time, you know, I'm like, guys, how much can you buy the dip? Like, yeah, I'm with you on the first one. If it's a position we believe in, sure. But even that, like, I believe in scaling into all of your plays. And now more than ever, even scale into your dips because it might keep dipping. I mean,
I bought the dip and it kept dipping.
Yes. Know? I was listening to that.
The thing about these dips is, you know, everybody's been in this like permeable mentality for the last how many months and years, right? And any dip that comes, everybody's like, buy the dip. And that works for a while. But once you get to like the third or the fourth dip, you know, that it's a little riskier every time. And I think a lot of people are so, you know, stubborn to come out of that buy the dip mentality. And that's when you get burnt and you hear a lot of crying on these big red days. Because buying the dip is getting more and more risky, in my opinion. I'm not usually the first person to buy things. I like to see a little bit of some stability and things to kind of go back up a little bit in general. I'm talking very broad terms right now, but you know, I don't like to just, I like to buy that confirmation off the support. I mean, even like right now, a lot of stocks that I'm looking at, a lot of things that I like to swing trade, they're kind of right around their 50-day moving average right now. So the question is, are they going to find support at that 50-day or are they going to break down and test the 200? So that's kind of like I think what most of these stocks are right now. And that's what makes, you know, quote, buying the dip a little risky right now. So I'm waiting to see how these 50-day moving averages kind of play out over the next few days. But that's me personally. But I like day trading.
No, 100%.
So for me, day trading is fine. You know, I'm not as much of a swing trader. There's some people in my group that have a lot more patience than I do and do a lot better swing trading. But, you know, that's all that. So, I mean, there's some other, I had some other notes written down before, but the main thing is like avoid the noise. There's so much noise on social media these days. And there's so many accounts that are getting like bigger than they should be getting. And there's so much conflicting information. And so there's just so much craziness on Twitter, especially that, you know, some days like I don't even like listen to Twitter sometimes. And some days like I trade with a clear head. I think a lot of new traders too, just one last thing to talk about, you know, tips for new traders, like, you know, don't get so wrapped up in all the social media craziness. You know, find your own plays. You know, search out the ticker that no one's talking about. Something that has good fundamentals, good management, good money. You know, something good revs, good, you know, good outlook, good story, everything good. And you know, make that your stock. Don't just make someone else's stock your stock. Don't get emotionally attached to a stock that you just heard about yesterday from somebody else. And now like what? Now you love it so much, but 48 hours ago, you knew nothing about it. You know, it's ridiculous to me. So that's the big thing.
Yeah. I think FinTwit is incredible. If you use it right, you know, the sense of community, I think is beautiful. I love seeing overlap between the different groups too.
Exactly.
That's always nice. Building that community is amazing, but I think you just have to have a sense of self-awareness and realize like when you're becoming a little too consumed and when you're becoming too distracted. Like the first time GameStop took off, I remember, here's my thing with memes and GIFs. I think they're fun in doses, but I remember that week specifically, it was just the rest of the market wasn't doing too great as a reaction. And it was just a big distraction for me, like GameStop.
It's too much.
And I muted a bunch of people. I'm like,
yeah, good.
I know that this is consuming me and it's distracting me. And that awareness means I need to do something about it. Either shut Twitter down or just put some people on mute temporarily and
I agree. I have a few people muted. I have a few people blocked, muted. But that's a whole nother story. But let's talk positive. So this show is designed for the total opposite of muting people. So we really hope that everybody enjoys this content. You know, the goal of this show was kind of just to have fun, talk to people who otherwise don't have a voice, and, you know, bring them to talk not only to their own community through kind of like through us, but, you know, different communities can come on. And we're kind of just like the unbiased news network, if you will. You know, we kind of just want to bring on all these different types of personalities and just have everybody come on, controversial people. Like, you know, wait until you see what we have on this show coming up. Like, it's going to be a lot of fun this year. But we just want to remind everybody, if you're listening and you're enjoying this, please subscribe to our channel. Subscribe. It motivates us to keep putting out this kind of content. We appreciate it. And then I wanted to get into kind of some rapid fire questions for you, if that's cool. A little aside, outside of trading a little bit. Some pertain to
trading. Oh, okay.
All right. So I did this with The Rock one time. I asked him about religion and all this stuff, and people seem to really like it. So I want to do a little rapid fire.
You want to talk politics and religion?
No, no politics. That's a rule. You lose friends. Politics is like Mario Kart. You will lose friends playing Mario Kart, and you will lose friends talking about politics.
This is true.
If you've ever played Mario Kart with friends drinking, you probably
can. I'm a Mario Party girl.
I
love Mario Party.
Yeah, Mario Party. I mean, I used to get pretty hardcore into Mario Kart in college. Like, it was ridiculous. Like, we used to tie balloons to each other's necks and stuff. Like, it just got really out of hand. But, all right, so you're a female trader. Do you even care about that? Do you like the notation of being called that? And if so, what does it mean to you, representing things? What are your thoughts on just female traders in general right now? It seems like more and more are getting involved, which is a good thing. And a lot of people on social media, especially, like, they talk to everybody like everybody's a bro. Like, let's get it, boys. Yes. We're making money, yes. Boys. Like, everything's like, let's do it, boys. So what's kind of your feeling on just female traders right now?
I love that, and I love seeing more of them. I definitely think there's a lot more boys in the market. I think typically when you think like finance and trading, you do think of men. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, the women that I've seen on this platform, like, I mean, Miss Izzy obviously is awesome.
Yeah, she's great.
You know, all of her technical analysis, and like, she's a badass. Mm-hmm. There are other accounts, like Jules is one of our girls in the RST team, like, mm-hmm. loves everything that she's doing and just her knowledge. And I think women sort of bring a different energy than men in some ways. And I think that they really have the potential to thrive in this world. And I'd love to see more of it. And I'd love to see more women like lifting up other women and just creating a pathway and teaching others. I think it's awesome to be a woman in this world. I really do.
Yeah. I mean, do you think that women approach trading with less of a gambling mentality than men? I'm like, I'll show you, I'm going to flex on you kind of mentality. I think so.
I think there's a little less ego.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I think we tend to be a little bit more level-headed in maybe certain areas where maybe men might get wrapped up a bit.
Yeah. So maybe more people should follow female traders. What do you think?
Yeah, I would co-sign on that.
Maybe I should as well. I got to reassess who I'm following. Yeah. I got to take a look if I'm biased towards men or not. Cause it's kind of ridiculous because money doesn't see gender, color, nothing. It doesn't care. So
there does not.
True. Nope. I think more people have to, you know, shine a light on females in trading. And that's, you know, what we're doing here tonight. And people need to be more aware of that. I think it might improve, just might improve your trading, you know?
Yeah, no, I appreciate that.
Yeah, cool. So I read that you moved to LA last year.
I did.
So that was like right in the middle of COVID, right? Like, how was that?
So I moved, and then LA pretty much went into pandemic lockdown mode 2 weeks later. So yeah, you know, just saying it out loud like that, it doesn't sound great, but honestly, I love it. I'm from Texas originally, spent my whole life there, and Texas is amazing. We'll always be home, but I think after living there for 28 years, it was just like, it's time to change it up. And my brother lives out here. So I've already got, you know, a small sense of like community through him. But I mentioned this, I think earlier this week. Yeah, I just hit my 1 year here, and being in pandemic mode, and everyone takes it here pretty seriously, I haven't really been able to build my own like in-person human community.
Yeah.
So that would be, I think, maybe the only drawback I could think of, but that's why I'm also grateful to like the trading community and my RSP family, because I'm kind of an introverted extrovert. I don't need a ton of human interaction, and they are very much like, they're very much filling my tank. I'm very happy with my little online family.
Yeah, it's cool. Yeah, I feel like a part of it as well these days. I mean, my wife calls them, you know, my stock people. You're going to go talk to your little stock people? Yeah. Like, listen, these stock people pay make me money. So
yeah,
I love my little stock people. Everybody that listens to this show, you're my little stock people, and all my people in phase one and all these other groups that we, you know, interact with. Yeah, it's pretty cool. Definitely during COVID as well, you know, it definitely makes it a little bit easier psychologically to kind of, you know, get through it, I think, you know, to be able to engage.
Yeah.
I was not nearly on social media as much as I was until recently. I've never even had a Facebook or anything my whole life. I started a Twitter probably two years ago when I started trading on social media. I was always just like a lone wolf before that. And, you know, prior to that,
good
it was
for you.
Like, I didn't care about social media. I've been trading since I'm like on and off since I'm 18, you know, I'm 34 years old. So I've been trading a little while and I was never on social media. I didn't need it, you know? And then kind of lately I was like, yeah, I was just looking for something different, just something to have some fun. And then COVID kind of hit at the same time. And I was like, all right, you know, it made it a little bit easier.
Well, and I think to kind of go off of that as well, something that I've mentioned a lot before is that before joining the trading world, like I was very much consumed by like the politics of the world. You know, everybody on Instagram, you know, we're all posting our highlight reels, scrolling through other people, just all that stuff that really added zero value. Zero.
Makes you zero money.
And yeah. And, you know, ever since becoming more of an active trader and like having this little online community, I don't spend any time on those anymore.
Yeah, like, it's awesome.
If there's a big political like event, like I'll hear about it from my brother or somebody in passing, but I am no longer the first to know, and I am okay with that. Like, it's just, again, it's managing like your mental real estate and figuring out how you can put it to use in a way that's actually good for you.
Yeah, I'm liking for sure. So you also, you took a picture recently with a dog. Is that a golden retriever?
That's Giuseppe. He is the love of my life. Yeah, he is, he's half golden retriever. And then he's a mix of a bunch of other things. He's like 10% Rottweiler, 10% Black Lab, part miniature Schnauzer. But yeah, he is a loaf of love.
Some people call those hybrid dogs.
Yes. He's a hybrid.
So, what else I got here? Rapid fire. Oh, so you took a picture. Like, was that you on the cover of that magazine?
It was.
So, what magazine is that? Like, that's pretty cool. You do like modeling too?
No, so it's LA Magazine. My brother is actually a pretty badass photographer out here, and you know, in the midst of COVID, especially at the beginning parts of it, it was really tricky, like going after like photo assignments and like, you know, we're all still learning, like, is a mask enough? Like what kind of protective gear, what kind of space, you know, it was all still so foreign and new at the time. And, he had gotten a assignment from LA Mag and he pitched to them that cover. Like, I remember that day, he gave me like a 15-minute heads up. He's like, hey, will you throw on like a neutral hoodie and wear this mask and these gloves and we'll just go down the street? It's like, okay.
You looked pretty badass. Let me tell you something. It was definitely an intimidating photo.
It's intense. It's cool though. He took that, he had that idea and he pitched it and they went with it. And it was a really cool way to look at such a pivotal, like, move in my life, like to be able to have that just shortly after I moved here, and to also sort of capture this iconic time period that we're in. Because this is going to be so memorable. Like, we're always going to look back at this time period. It was a really cool experience for him to make that happen and for us to always be able to look back on it.
Yeah, cool. So a couple more things. So going back to trading a little bit. So, you know, we ask a lot of our guests because we just find it interesting. It's just like, you know, real kind of questions. What's your typical morning like? Are you a full-time trader? Like, are you doing this full-time?
No, I actually have a full-time job. Same company I was with in Texas, but I have the wonderful luxury of being remote, which is a complete game changer.
Nice.
And so, I mean, my morning routine has always been like very, very important for me in all aspects of my life. Like, if I don't start my day off the right way, I feel a little kind of off equilibrium. Morning routine for me is I set my alarm. And once I do that, my dog hears it and he jumps in bed and we snuggle for about 10 to 15 minutes, get a nice little morning recharge in. And then I will make the bed and I will do a 10-minute meditation.
Nice.
Just about every morning. And I think for me, that's one of those things, like when I miss it or if I sleep in a little bit too much and I don't get my day started with that, I just feel a little off kilter.
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely try to start my head with a clear mind by doing a meditation. And then I'll go take him for a little walk just to get the day started and then start kind of seeing what's going on in the market. And yeah, just starting with more of a clear head. I think having some form of morning routine is great instead of just like diving in disheveled.
Yeah, for sure. Even the night before, you know, when we had radio on, we asked him the same question and he started his answer from even just the night before what he was doing, you know, and kind of preparing yourself and getting the rest it takes to get into that next morning. So, you know, you're on the West Coast, right? So what time do you get up in the morning? Like, is it like, I can't even imagine. Like, I'm not a morning person. I hate the morning. So I can't even imagine, like, all West Coast traders. Like, how do you do it? Like, what time do you get up in the morning?
I don't do a ton of like pre-market trading, so mm-hmm. I'm not too sensitive to all of that. But normally, and it kind of shifts, but I'll probably get up between like 4:30 or 5, depending on the day. Sometimes I'll give myself a little bit more. But it's just, I've always been a morning person.
Yeah.
So even like the company I work full time for, I mean, naturally they're 2 hours ahead, but I'm sending emails before anyone's in the office. Like I love my mornings.
That West Coast thing, that is kind of like an edge a little bit, because I was thinking the other day, I'm like, you know, people on the West Coast are done with trading so much earlier.
Yeah.
Like, it's like the middle of the afternoon and the market closes and you're like, you still kind of have the day. I mean, assuming you have to go to bed a lot earlier to keep up with things, but you know, it's true.
I mean, ideally.
Even sometimes for me as an East Coast trader, you know, something just on the topic of time zones that I find interesting sometimes is sometimes news comes out like really early in the morning on certain things. And there's what's called an informational inefficiency, which is essentially just, you know, what it sounds like, where it's not a lot of people see it yet. And if you do, you have an edge, right? So I like that sometimes when news comes out at like, you know, 6-7 in the morning, East Coast time. And you're able to just hop on those and then, you know, let the rest of the country kind of wake up and follow you, you know. But definitely a different challenge for West Coast people. You know, like even right now, like getting on the East Coast, getting kind of late on the East Coast, you know. But for you guys, like, I forget there's different time zones in this world. We have a few traders that are from like the Mountain Time and the Western Time. And I always make jokes like, exaggerating how much earlier it is, like it'll be nighttime here. I'm like, oh, what are you eating breakfast? You know, so it's kind of fun to mess around.
I remember actually when I first started trading, there was one night I'd gone out and I got home at like, I don't know, it was like 3 a.m. and everybody in our Discord group was like saying their good mornings. And I'm like, y'all need to chill out. I am going to bed.
Exactly. Yeah, I can't pre-market trade. I mean, there was, it's, you know, there's a time where the market calls for it, where it's hot, you know, like a couple months ago, like pretty much before the whole like crazy Reddit BS, in my opinion. But like we were in a groove, like my group was in a groove, and a lot of it was pre-market trading. Like we were up, we were looking at things, we were turning on trade ideas at 6-7 in the morning. You know, we were waiting for those gaps, you know, waiting for the retrace, buying on support levels and setting our stops right underneath it. And, you know, two out of three of them would go. And we were just doing that every morning, boom, 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 every single morning. And then that kind of, that spigot shuts off after a while. And then it's not even worth getting up sometimes. And for me, at least, you know, for me, sometimes my sleep is a little bit more worth it. And I have two young kids these days. So, you know, I'm busy in general. And most of the time I have, you know, kids climbing up my shoulders as I'm trading. So
everybody has their own.
I'm sorry.
How old are they?
My one son's going to be 3 next month, and I have a 3-month-old right now as well.
Oh.
Yeah, two boys.
You've got
two
babies. Okay. Yeah.
So it's like it's a boy house, and you know, there's a lot of puke and poop and yelling and food and things and spills, and it's like, you know, it's par for the course, but you know, people think they have challenges trading, try trading with 2-3 kids in the house. It prevent, you know, that's why I think we're going to do a segment on this show, like if you're a parent of 3 kids or more, we'd like to have you on as a guest. Like,
yeah,
tell your story.
I applaud these people, because I'm like, I'm not married, I don't have any kids, I'm just trying to give my dog like his best life. And even myself, like there's a lot of days where I feel really spread thin, but then there's parents with kids and full-time jobs, and I just think it's incredible. I love how everyone's making it work.
Yeah, for sure. I think everybody's getting used to that now, this new normal. And, you know, that kind of directly applies to trading in a way, like this new normal, like, you know, like a company like Zoom, like they're not going anywhere now, even when things get back to normal. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, business travel is never going to be the same again. So I'm looking at certain, you know, business travel related, you know, event companies. And, you know, there's stocks now that are a thing that kind of never used to be a thing. And, you know, the world has been, you know, adapting to this long enough now where you kind of don't have to go back to certain aspects of previous life. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but it definitely could be traded.
Sure.
You know, there's definitely trading opportunities.
Sure.
So, all right. So we're going to start kind of wrapping up the show, but I know that a lot of people said like you rap. Is that a thing? Like, are you prepared? Like, do you want to do that? Like, do you want to drop?
You know,
if this was a different kind of show, I would just like drop a beat right now. We could just go for it.
No, so the story behind the rapping situation is I have this corny little habit of taking songs like Drop It Like It's Hot or Baby Got Back or Lose Yourself by Eminem and just kind of putting like a little stock spin on it when I'm feeling it. And so I drop those in the Discord from time to time, and I have have some people who really enjoy it. And so I know my friend Holt decided to really hype it up. I think somebody asked me like, oh, she trades? What's this gonna happen? And he's like, yes, thank you. Just very much owning it.
That's fine.
But yeah, I won't embarrass you guys or myself by doing that on air.
So I guess, you know, we like to say to everybody, like, you know, we'll have you back on, because everybody that's been on the show, we want to have you back on and get an update from you. So maybe next time we'll like legit set up a rap battle and we'll just like diss each other out about how you like suck at trading and how I suck at trading. Just go back and forth.
I love
That'd
it.
That'd be kind of funny.
I love it. I will prepare for that. Yeah.
I would definitely prepare for that. Like, we'll do like a while and out kind of situation.
Okay. Yeah. Down.
Let's just have fun with the show. There's Steven.
I'm just listening
in
the background, Eric, talking about wiling out. Yeah. I'm here to beatbox for you if you ever need me, Pony.
Yeah. Not tonight. It's getting late. It's getting late.
I had one of my friends, actually Amiibo, it's his 30th birthday, happy birthday. He DM'd me and was like, hey, if you're serious, like I can be your ghostwriter. I'm like, that's so sweet. I mean, I've got like a very solid team here to back me up and make it look like I know what I'm doing. But yeah, we'll save it for next time. We'll practice.
All right. So I want to ask you one final question.
I don't think we're going to do any Q&A. It's kind of like late already for us East Coast people, you know, in real life time out here. But so what's your trading goals for 2021? So we're a few months into 2021. You know, what were your goals kind of coming into the year? You know, what kind of progress have you made into those goals? And do you feel like you're on track to kind of meet or exceed some of those goals?
Yeah, I will tell you, you know, it's funny. One of my biggest goals is actually not for myself, it's for my mom. I started a trading account for her in January. And, you know, up until, I think, that first or second week of February, there were some amazing gains to be had. And I quadrupled her account, which is like one of my biggest, like growing your own account is cool, but like growing one for your mom is just, that's awesome. So I think my goal is to build hers up even more. Like like I'm happy building mine as well, but like she's a teacher with a not so cute retirement plan, you know, and mm-hmm. I want to take care of mama.
Yeah.
And I feel really good about doing that. So
that's awesome.
That's exciting for me.
So that's like essentially your challenge account right now.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's been cool too, because I've been a little bit more conservative with my strategy on hers.
Right.
And so it's kind of fun seeing, I gotta protect mama's gains.
Yeah,
so
I can relate to that.
It's kind of fun seeing how it allows me to experiment a little bit, because I always follow the same trading plans, but in terms of like maybe locking profits a little quicker, how many trades I take on, I've definitely been a little more conservative with hers, and it's working out well.
I can definitely relate to that. I have an account per child that I've had now,
awesome, in
like custodial accounts. So people that aren't familiar with custodial accounts, pretty much like you're just like co-signing an account, and they can't take out the money until they're 18 or 21, and you know they can eventually trade it themselves, but you know obviously my kids are so young they can't. But you'd be surprised how well the performance of those accounts are when you're trading such a serious, important nest egg, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's like, it's almost kind of like sometimes I see what I'm doing there. I'm like, why didn't I just do this in my own account? Like,
you know, right.
It's probably what you have going on with your, probably what 100%. You have going on there as well.
100%. But in terms of like other improvements, I have, you know, a lot of my basic indicators that I look at for technical analysis, but I do want to step up my game a little bit more there and just continue gaining that knowledge and just become better in every sense.
Yeah, definitely just like, you know, get through the next couple of weeks, I think should be the goal for a lot of people coming into the spring.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the market is not always going to be, I mean, we have, you know, stimulus is coming, right? So that'll get things going. But guess what? Like on the backside of stimulus, you're going to have to start figuring out if you want to trade options, if you're going to get good at shorting, or if you're going to just kind of like, you know, maybe reduce your trading frequency a little bit. Because, you know, coming into the spring and the summer, I mean, things are going to change. And I mean, it'll probably stay as crazy as it has been as long as COVID is still a thing. But, you know, typically mm-hmm. seasonally, it does slow down. So I think the real challenge for a lot of people is kind of like, you know, don't blow up your account in the next few weeks and you'll be fine.
Yeah. And I think, like I said, one of the most important things we've been learning is how important it is to have a healthy cash reserve. Because if you're all in and we see a bigger pullback, it might get a little... you might end up giving back a lot of your gains. So I think being cautious about that moving forward, and also maybe just not forcing trades. Like if nothing looks good, if you don't feel comfortable taking on a trade and it doesn't feel right, I think it's okay to sit it out sometimes. I think sometimes the best trade is no trade instead of trying to force things when there's a lot of volatility and uncertainty.
Yeah, I agree 100%. You know, don't let that cash burn a hole in your pocket, because when those opportunities present themselves, they're as clear as day and they make perfect sense. And, you know, there's nothing worse than seeing that and not being able to do anything about it. So, you know, sometimes, you know, holding mm-hmm. cash for a long time is hard to do, but
almost 10 times out of 10, it's worth it. Because when you do get, when you do come into those mornings where, you know, like the other day where everything's super red, like if you weren't liquid the other day, man, that had to be frustrating. Like me, I was laughing because something just popped in my head too. It's like, have a list of stocks that are your go-to quality stocks on days like that.
Yes.
So you're not searching the morning of. Like me, like when I wake up to a morning like that, like I was up at like 4 a.m. feeding a baby. So I was already looking at what was going on. And I said, boom, I have literally a quote quality list. I have a quality list of things that I go to and I add to, you know, not even, they're not trades, they're long-term things. So I take, you know, profits from trading, and I hold those profits from trading, and I stay patient, and I wait for mornings like the other morning where everything's on sale, and I don't have to think about what I'm going to buy. I already have my quality list, my shopping list, and I know on a morning like that, boom, I'm going to that list, and I'm going to add to these names. I don't even have to think about it. It's already a plan.
And I think you just posted a bunch of watch lists, which are very much on my radar right now. Just anything innovative, anything that's hot, up and coming. Obviously, anything Kathy Wood touches, you know, between space and augmented reality and 3D printing and psychedelics. Like, there are so many up and coming hot sectors in some of these tickers. I mean, we're maybe hard to get a good entry in, and like now's the right time to have a list of those handy. You know, if we see greater pullbacks or if you see a really nice dip, then even then you want to just start nibbling in, because again, we
go ahead.
There's a Trayden Whalen. He said something the other day that was a great quote. It was like, we want those closeout sale prices, not the holiday sale prices.
Yeah, exactly.
And that really stuck out to me in terms of like how much of the, like if you're going to buy the dip, cool, but even then it's good to be careful, like nibbling into the dip. But yeah, I think having a list of what you want to add is great at this time.
Yeah, I mean, having a quality list, and then what I like to do is not only a quality, that's like a potpourri list of quality, that's like my down day go-to, but I have a sector watch list for every single sector, like an extensive list for every single sector. So you can, if someone says, hey Eric, like oil is hot, like okay, boom, go to the oil list.
You look at your ETFs if they're.
I'm sorry?
I said, I mean, it's great to look at your ETFs as well in those different sectors, like the XLE for energy or the.
I have literally an ETF. I have an ETF watch list as well that has all the ETFs. I actually just made a recent one with all the Kathy Wood stuff. I'm like, and then I looked at, I was kind of late to that game, honestly. I was looking at the performance of those ETFs. It's unbelievable. I mean, they're on a little bit of a pullback.
They're all
right
up 100% for the year. Yeah.
Oh my God. It's insane. She's actually going to be on like a Benzinga interview tomorrow at 2:00. So I don't have a link or anything. Maybe I'll drop one from phase one later. But if anybody is interested in that, I think it's like 1 or 2 o'clock tomorrow. She's going to be on Benzinga, which is definitely like a must listen right now. So, you know, she was definitely very interesting. And also going back to what I was saying before, like using social media the right way. So like last night, I decided, I'm like, you know what, I'm just going to, I knew people would find it helpful. I'm like, I'm going to start just tweeting out some of my watch lists that I have, because it's definitely helpful for people, right? If you're not as organized as I am, right? And then it also helps me judge preemptively based on the analytical data of the tweet, what people have an interest in, right? So last night I put out three. I put out the ARK ETF one. I put out a gambling and gaming one.
And those
did well, right? Gambling and gaming is definitely going to be a hot thing, but whatever, that's another story for another day. And then I put out the psychedelic watch list. And that psychedelic
watch list,
it exploded. Like the analytical data on that tweet it exploded. Like it's like 17,000 views, like 100,000 impressions, like 220 profile clicks. Like that tweet did so well, which tells me there's such an underlying interest in the psychedelic space right now, and it'll probably become pot stocks pretty soon. So that was very interesting.
Yes. I'm very excited about that sector. And I think I personally have just recently discovered psychedelics myself within the last year and a half or so. And I think all of this stock talk coming up too is sort of bringing to the surface how many other people are very much also excited about this sector. And so, yeah, it'll be cool to see it grow. I think somebody's trying to pass a bill to get it totally decriminalized in California right now.
Yeah, there's some articles that came out. There was some articles that came out right now, about just legislation that's kind of surrounding it. But for me, it's kind of like a post-pandemic mental health play. That's how I'm looking at it.
For sure.
I think it's definitely a lot of potential there, but we could go on and on about that. I don't want to get too into it, but I do want to use that to tease our next guest. I'm not going to say who it is, but I'll drop a little hint here. If you're listening, we're about 75 minutes into this. It's been great talking with you, by the way. So if you got this far along, our next guest is going to be involved, high profile name involved in the psychedelic space. So I guess you're going to tune into that one as well, right?
Oh, I'm excited.
Yeah, it's going to be cool. It's going to be cool. He's definitely a high profile. Oopsie, I said he. All right, so that narrows it down a little bit, but it's definitely a high profile name. And we're going to do a psychedelic show pretty much. That's what we're putting together. That's going to be, let me look at my calendar here. That's going to be March 16th. That's not next Tuesday, the Tuesday after that. We're just narrowing down a time. We don't have a time yet, but it's going to be in the evening, probably a little earlier than this show. So stay tuned for that. I'd like to thank you for coming on tonight and sharing, the experiences that you've had in your trading story. I think it's been inspirational to a lot of people of all different experience levels. I think, everybody has something to learn from somebody who's learning, right? So we appreciate you coming on tonight.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I love being able to do this and have this chat, and it was all wonderful. Thank you.
Yeah. I mean, we'd like to just bring everybody together, and if anybody has any suggestions of who they'd like to see on the show, just drop it in the chat right now. We read all the comments in the chat. I have two or three people in the background right now just working all the controls of the YouTube, and they're reading the chat and they're engaging. So, who do you want to see on the show? I mean, we have a few people lined up, so I think we're booked out until about April at this point. We have about two or three more people booked right now, but beyond that, drop it in the chat, shoot us a DM on Twitter, tag us, do whatever you got to do to let us know. We're kind of always looking for somebody else to bring on here and just to tell their story and just get to know them a little bit and let people get to know them in a different way than just reading about them on Twitter. So again, thanks for being on here. Thank you for everybody helping us get to 1,000 subscribers. It's like really awesome for us. So now our goal is just exponentially grow from here. I mean, our next goal is 10,000, then 100,000, then who knows where it goes from here. We're still working on getting everything on Spotify. It's a little bit of a pain in the butt, but that is coming. We're hoping to reach a bigger audience with that and have a little bit better accessibility for our current audience to listen to that, in the car and things like that. I think Spotify makes it a little bit easier. So again, thanks for everybody listening on the replay live. We appreciate you, and we look forward to talking with you on social media, and we'll talk soon, everybody. Have a good night.